from listener to the adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space. From a long line of brave and well-bred noblemen, Lord Dinby ventures forth on his rocket ship, the Wanderer, in search of high adventure, low cunning, and for queen and country. Joined by his able companions, Huxley, Calculo, and Simpson, the Duke of Space faces adventure and danger at every turn. After many adventures, the Wanderer soars through space, its crew enjoying a much-needed rest. Its destination? The planet Earth, where praise and accolades await Lord Dinby and his faithful companions. They approach the Earth's system, preparing for an audience with the Queen herself.
Not the blue one, sir.
Really, Simpson? I think the blue one makes me look rather dashing.
Not the blue one, my lord. Perhaps the burgundy one.
The burgundy one, Simpson? Everyone will be wearing the burgundy one.
Yes, my lord.
Do you not agree, Simpson, that this blue sash makes me look dashing?
If you say so, my lord.
And do you not agree that the Queen is honoring me for, well, to put it bluntly, being rather dashing?
One could not argue with that assessment, my lord.
Then it follows that I should, upon arrival in Her Majesty's presence, cut something of a dashing figure, does it not, Simpson?
Quite, my lord.
Then why on earth should I not wear the blue one? It illustrates, far more than the burgundy one, that I, Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of New York, Astral Kent, and sundry, am, for lack of a better term, dashing.
Perhaps the sash will distract from your own personal dashing nature, my lord, by drawing attention to itself.
Nonsense. I will keep it on.
Very good, my lord.
Now don't sulk, Simpson. I say, you're like a mother hen sometimes.
The crew of the Wanderer, dressed in their finest, gathers in the fourth drawing room. There they share drinks and idle conversation.
Well, that was when my pal Bess just slapped him. You should have seen him after that. His cheek got as red as her hair. He never suggested that again.
Well, I do say. You know what they say about Australian men? They're good fighters, good drinkers, hearty to the last, but don't leave them lying about where women might stumble upon them.
Oh, I don't know. There's the Australian actor named Bruce Monty. Oh, he is just the perfect gentleman and, oh, those blue eyes.
I must say you continue to impress me, Huxley. You have, as they say, cleaned up rather well.
Well, we simple-bottom men are, in our own earthy way, rather refined, my lord. Why, I was just reading Mallory, and I would not be surprised that if Sir Gawain was something of an ancestor, that fellow.
Sir, I am sorry to interrupt, sir. But there is a distress signal.
Whence the signal, Calculo?
Not far, sir. It is a mere 10 minutes off our course. The signal is coming from a ship of Her Majesty's Royal Cadets. It appears that their ship has been badly damaged by a collision with an asteroid while they were making repairs. It is now on a collision course with the Sun in their system. We appear to be the closest and most able ship to mount a rescue.
Then divert us, Calculo. This shouldn't take long. We can come to Her Majesty, cadets in hand, so to speak.
Very good, sir. We will arrive in 10 minutes' time.
Excellent. Now, Huxley, where were we? Ah, yes, Sir Gawain and Thomas Mallory. Funny business that, you know? A knight writing about knights.
Do you not want to change before we arrive, my lord?
Change? For a rescue mission? Sure tosh, Simpson. We'll simply go on board, Calculate will fix up the engines, with a bit of a tug and a push, bring her back to Earth with us. Nothing to it.
Very good, my lord.
The Wanderer flings itself toward the distressed ship, moving with lightning speed to save the Royal Cadets.
We have arrived, sir. There is the ship, and our sensors indicated that it is heavily damaged.
How many alive on board?
I cannot tell, sir. The sensor rays are experiencing some kind of interference, possibly due to the radiation from the engines.
Perhaps it's not safe for you to go over, my lord. Let Calculo and I go aboard, assess the situation, and return with news.
Nonsense. We will simply take a few anti-radiation pills before going over, and say no more of it. Are you equipped for engine repair, Calculo?
I have called up the proper parts to the cockpit, sir. I will be properly outfitted in a moment's time.
Good, good. Now, let us to the shuttle.
We will return to the adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space, after the news.
Disaster has struck. The cruise liner SS Troubadour collided with an unknown object in the Northern Atlantic Ocean on Saturday. The ship carried 500 passengers and 250 crew. Early reports are that no survivors have been found and that all hands may be lost at sea. Currently, there is no explanation as to what the ship may have collided with, as there are no known ice or rock formations in the ship's immediate area. The final radio communications, however, indicate that a collision did occur and that the ship began taking on water at a very rapid speed, causing it to sink in mere minutes. We will return with more news after a word from Glee Soda Shop.
Hey there, Hilda. What's with the big grin?
Oh, hi, Matilda. I'm just over the moon.
Really? Is it some fella?
Well, yeah. We went out last night to a play on Walnut Street in Philadelphia, and afterward, well...
Go on.
I don't want to give the secret away, but he took me to Glee's Soda Shop, right there on 9th and Chestnut. It was the berries. They had all kinds of soda pop and ice cream and sweets.
Oh, I've got such a sweet tooth. Tell me, what did you get?
Well, we shared a malted with two straws.
Sounds like the bee's knees. Maybe I can get some fella to take me there, too.
Why wait? Let's go now. Glee Soda Shop is so close and with so many items. We could go for a month and never get the same thing twice.
Okay, let's go to Glee's Soda Shop.
American millionaire Charles Hufferton announced this week that he will be putting his new source of atomic energy into production right away in order to power several of the working machines that are building the transatlantic tube. He predicts that this will speed up the process by several months, as fuel supply for the machines will no longer be a going concern. When asked if he would also provide the energy supply to the British machines, he said that after an initial test, he would be happy to give his cousins across the sea the opportunity to benefit from American ingenuity. And now back to our program.
The Wanderer's shuttle flits toward the damaged vessel. Lord Dinby, Huxley, and Calculo look out the main window at the wreckage that floats around the hull and wonder.
Well, it looks like a cracking good hit by that asteroid.
Indeed, Huxley. In fact, it looks as if it is only by God's grace that they are as intact as they are. It might have obliterated them.
We will be docking in a few moments, sir. It looks as if the safest place to put us down is on the dorsal airlock.
Very good. Have we had any luck trying to communicate with them on the radio?
No, sir. I believe their communications array went inoperable after their initial message.
Well, it's good that we came then. It's quite possible that no one else would have heard their distress call.
Indeed. And what a loss to Her Majesty if these cadets had not been helped in time. Well, no worry of that now. Put us down, Calculo.
We have a connection, sir.
I'll go first, my lord. If only to keep your admirers at bay. Who knows how many of these cadets joined up upon hearing of your adventures.
Quick thinking, Huxley.
Careful, my lord. There's a ladder here. Well, the, air quality appears to be perfectly fine. But I am concerned with the total absence and a lack of a crowd of adoring cadets, my lord.
Ah, yes. One of life's perpetual disappointments, eh, Huxley? A mob of fawning admirers is never there when you expect one. Buck up, old sport. I'm sure they are around here somewhere. But first, let us to the engine room so Calculo can get the ship moving again.
Help! Help! In here!
Sounds like someone needs our assistance, my lord.
It's coming from in there, sir. The doors are jammed. I will endeavor to open them.
Huh?
please, in here. I need help.
Oh, he's pinned under the fallen beam, my lord. Come on, Calculo. Help me get him free.
I will lift the beam. If you two would please pull him out.
Yes, now, all together. There you go, my good man. Are you quite all right?
My leg is hurt, but do not worry about me. The ship is in dire danger. It was attacked. The cadets... Poor chappies, I think they're all gone.
That is the emergency alarm, sir. This specific alarm indicates that the engines are in a critical state and will most likely explode in just a few moments. I must get to the engine room.
Run, Calculo. We will carry this man back to our shuttle and get him to safety.
Quickly, my lord. There's no time.
Time is ticking down. The engine's ready to explode. And where are the Queen's Royal Cadets? What happened to damage their ship? Will our heroes escape the danger in time? Tune in next week to find out on the adventures of Lord Dimby Witherspoon, Duke of Space.
The Adventures of Lord Dimby Witherspoon, Duke of Space, has been reconstructed with the voice talents of Zoe Benincaduto, Matthew Curtis, Finn Kilgore, Jeff Machado, Steve Rimpici, Megan Scrivener, and Christine Sterren, with special guest appearance by Matthew Ebling. Music has been restored by Father David Swantek. The reconstruction of the show has been penned and produced by JWG Wise. Please visit us at dukeofspace.com and on Twitter at Duke of Space. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at dinby@dukeofspace.com.